And welcome, everybody, to episode 736 of RP Grinders. I'm your host, Frank Branches, alongside my trusty cohorts, Eric the Great and Breakman the Bold. Gentlemen, how are you? How was your week?
It's all right, I guess. Yeah, good. It's over with, so it's better than it was.
It's over with. It's better now that you're to the weekend break, I'm assuming. So you guys have, like, Monday through Friday jobs, huh? Yeah.
I took today off.
I could tell Brake is super excited to be on today's show already.
I'm just tired because I forgot to take my morning medicine for my allergies.
Just wait for something to happen, and my piece of shit computer still just would not load Skype. So I'm using my phone now. I finally get through it in town and said, okay, phone.
I'm gonna start setting aside a little tiny bit of money, and one day I'm just gonna buy you like a little Chromebook so you could use it for this show, Breakman. It's like just something simple that you can put like Skype and that's it. You know, here you go. Here's Skype. There you go. You're done. You know, cops kill a lot of people. They don't discriminate the hate. You know, this is, I don't know.
I don't know. They seem to kill a lot more people of color than they do white.
Proportionately, they kill them all. I mean, it doesn't matter, but proportionally, yeah, they do kill a lot of black people. It's not even close.
Violent in general, but you can't say they're not racist when we see like, what was it like the last year? Every other week there was another unarmed black person killed, like Breonna Taylor. You know, she was a victim of doing nothing wrong, just being in the wrong house at the wrong time. Wait a minute, she was in
or
the right
whenever
house.
Whenever there is a person of color shooter, or you know, person of different persuasion other than straight white male, they always recite like them having like prior issues or previous offenses.
Yeah, I don't get that either. They try to make
'90s every criminal had prior arrests for marijuana.
Yeah.
Stuff like that.
Like, right. Right. That's exactly right.
Even though marijuana is like the most harmless drug in the world.
I know. It's so weird. Like it's so backwards. I'm glad Colorado led the way on it. I mean, I still think it should have been decriminalized and not just quote-unquote legalized, because I still have to worry. I mean, look, I use it for medicine, right? I can't get that medicine in most other states. You know, I still have to... I kind of have to stay here for my medicine or go to Washington or something. And I can't even travel with it. If I was to put it in my luggage and they caught it, I'd get in a lot of trouble, which I don't get. If it was just decriminalized, like, you know, then everybody can grow as much as they want and, you know, just, you know, not have to worry about all the bullshit, you know, but they won't do it because they still want to hold on to the drug war. All right, we gotta continue on here. Let's get through this news real quick, guys.
RPG News.
All right, Eric, you're up.
Okay. From RPG site, we've got, as soon as it finishes the loading, because I scrolled all the way down, Monochrome Mobius finally has a release date, or release window, rather, because it's just an announcement. But we knew this, a Western release was coming. We didn't know who was going to localize it, though, so it's NIS. It'll be coming out for the PlayStation 5 and PlayStation 4. And it's been available on PC since November 2022, but NIS didn't publish the game. And I guess they didn't localize it. They're just publishing the console versions.
Yeah. Yeah, not a lot of gameplay here, so I can't really comment.
And there's, according to this article, the review from RPG site gave it a mixed response.
It's got an art style like Ease.
I'm guessing it's somewhere closer to the 7 range.
Yeah, it looks okay, but it's... I don't know. Does it look like a PS? It looks like a high-end PS3 game to me more than anything.
Well, you know, most developers don the budget to make it look nice.
Yeah, I know. I guess I can't be too hard on America. I gotta worry
about
gameplay and story.
It's a follow-up game from a developer that usually makes visual novels.
Yeah. Freak 5, you didn't miss much. We're kind of in agreement, man. Like, it's in the United States, it's become more of a class war than anything. And there's other hot button subjects that try to divide us, like, you know, abortion, you know, the trans quote unquote controversies, you know, just things in general, racism, you know, just stuff to distract from the real crux of the matter. And that's, you know,
There's one more thing I want to say about this whole thing. And before we actually get on with the show is that you can't really be a truth seeker if you decided to buy into, a certain side's talking points.
Well, you can if you can understand.
Because you want to be lazy, you don't actually want to think about things.
Well, that's what I was going to say, Eric. You can if you can see the other point of view. You may disagree with it, but if somebody has a point, then you're like, okay, maybe you have a good point there. I mean, I've had to do a little bit of, you know, that.
Me, I've tried to consume all types of media until Trump came along and the total Republican Party went completely nuts. Like Fox News went.
Well, look what. Look.
I would watch everybody's opinions and listen to everybody to kind of get like.
Yeah.
Because you know, the right's got one thing, the left's got one thing, and somewhere in the middle, you're going to find the truth.
I don't like the middle either, Breakman, because the middle is killing us too.
I'm not the middle people. I'm saying
right.
What the Republicans tell us, what the Democrats tell us, the truth right. is usually not either one of them.
This is why I say the problem isn't with the people. We agree on probably 90% of all policy. If you took Democrats, you took and regular Democrats and regular Republicans, and you put them in a room and you talked about subjects in a manner that didn't include politicians, we would agree on 90% of everything, like healthcare and.
I agree. I'm sorry. I just like if you put like 10 people in a room to talk about abortion, 5 of them are going to try and kill the other 5.
Hmm. There are certain.
Well, I think Frank's argument would work better if you'd somehow got children raised in such a manner that they wouldn't have bought into whatever their parents were trying to sell them.
See, that's the thing. You're talking tradition.
The environment's usually the reason why, and politicians do create that environment.
Yeah, yeah, that's a good point, Eric. You're right, actually. If you wouldn't have, like, if you weren't indoctrinated to your beliefs, if you were put in a vacuum, you would come to find out that we all have a lot more in common than we have differences. You know what I mean? I mean, that's what I'm trying to say, Brake. I don't know
how. And there's also the obsession with the plebeian folk that want to oversimplify and massively reduct any kind of explanation for anything.
Well, that's too. That's
and
true.
And that leads to them completely misunderstanding.
You do have plebeians. Okay, and that gets to Breakman's kind of argument. Plebeians, right? The plebeians are the ones that'll just go along with anything on either side, you know, because they've been lied to so much throughout their lives that's, you know, it's just commonplace for them. You know, that's just how it is.
Like the idea that there's two sexes. It's not that people would probably be more open to the idea if it had been force-fed gender norms and, like, pairing up guys with girls in popular media for years and years and years.
I actually watched...
That's indoctrination.
I actually watched Big Mouth Season 6, and...
It doesn't have to be explicit. It just needs to be widely available to the point where people think that's what's normal.
Right, Eric. There's an important kind of theme that they went through. I'm getting tired of that series because... We always talk about like anime and how like little kids are sexualized and stuff. Big Mouth is really kind of like that, but in a way that they talk, you know, that they're going through puberty and stuff like that, like normal growing up things. But I even think that it's getting a little too weird for me to watch. There was
That's
a good
the show's creators have their own problems and yeah, they're baked into the show itself.
I know, but let me finish, Eric, before we continue here. But they did come up with a kind of a brilliant season this season. in talking about and it was done in a way that I think brought it down to its most basics of basics when it comes to gender, and like there's a difference between sex and gender. You know, it's not clear cut, you know, but it's not overly complicated. It's not like one of these things where if you talk to somebody that wasn't a plebeian, right? We're talking about plebeians here. Plebeians are going to be plebeians. They don't have the capacity to understand and learn. But if you talk to somebody that actually has a brain and can learn, then you can, the walls kind of come down, is what I'm saying. You know, it is what it is. Remember the video of Obama talking about control the language, control the minds. See, Skonema, Obama's a special piece of shit. Just like Trump's a special piece of shit. I'm more of a people person than I am ever going to be a politician person. Politicians to me are scum. There's a reason why they're in the position that they are, and it's to make sure that we all get distracted from what's really going on in capitalism. And I actually think capitalism will eventually fold onto itself, and we could have a whole conversation.
Yeah, but Conway is telling us about controlling the language. She's probably doing it right with that example.
Well, see, the thing is, there's supposed to be, like, limits and accountability and stuff on capitalism, and politicians have taken away all of the stuff that kept capitalism under control, where it wouldn't go out of control, where people are making, you know, where people are hoarding the fortune.
This was always this was always the fate of capitalism. At a certain point, the rich just get richer, and the poor just get poorer. Capitalism has all this is this experiment of ours. We've had a really good run. We've had 200 and some odd years of history in this country, and it's a really good run. It's a really big empire that we've created here, right? But all good things must come to an end, right? Well, we're starting to see the beginning of the end. You know, it really is the end. I mean, we're going to have to think of something completely different because it can't go on this way. I mean, look what happened in France, Brake. I mean, they raised the, without the vote of the people, mind you, they raised the retirement age from 62 to 64, and people over there were in the streets in the millions protesting.
You can't, protesting doesn't work. I think it's been proven now.
I would agree with you because, look, it here in the United States, it doesn't work. I mean, and in France, did they change the laws back? Of course not. The politicians always get their way. They want more money, they want more control, and that they're going to get it and the only thing that works on the streets in millions, but in a different way. You know what I mean? Like I'm not calling for that because I'm a peaceful person, but it's going that way.
Instances of violence in France and stuff like that, even that isn't enough to dissuade these politicians. No.
Have you ever heard of the term "eat the rich," Brakeman?
The wise sage Steven Tyler.
Eat the rich is a thing, and eventually it will get to that point here in the United States. The rich will have a certain amount of power until they have no power. You know what I'm saying? So this whole millionaire, billionaire, upper class thing. It only works out.
A trillionaire, because we got Bezos.
Bezos is almost a trillionaire. He will be the first trillionaire, but that is just absolutely astronomically disgusting, and nobody should have that much money ever. I don't even think that
the wealthy at a rate of 90%, and they were still wealthy.
They were still wealthy, and we don't do that anymore, Brakeman. And it was the middle class. There was a definite middle class then. And there was really no lower class. It was just middle class. I know. Let's finish up.
We've been on a tangent for time.
We have, but it's okay. It's okay. We'll get through this. Let's just do headlines. Next story, Brakeman.
Let me see. Coming to us live from RPG site. Global version of free to play Disgaea RPG to end service on May 12th. I didn't even know this existed.
I didn't either.
We talked about it a while back.
Yeah, I think we did.
Yeah. Oh, you, Eric. I mean, what
I say? All right. Anything else on this? I mean, we knew this was coming. I mean, you know, all those mobile games.
It's going to shut down at some point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They all do. All right. Next.
Unless it's like something you can just actually, even if you can just outright buy something and it's not a free to play game, it's probably not going to be available on the store forever.
Yeah.
Well, I know it's horrible to say for a lot of people. It's going to give them nightmares, but even WoW will shut down one day.
Like, I think The World Ends With You solo remix on the iOS actually was taken down. No, for the Android version specifically, it was taken down for a while.
Yeah. All right, next story comes to us. Let me get to chat real quick. I hate to say it to you, but it really does seem like the only way is to stand up. The rebellion
way. Make the people that are abusing their authority so afraid that they'll never want to do that again.
Yeah, I mean, it really is. I mean, you know, so maybe all the guns here can serve a purpose. I mean, I'm not an advocate for any of that because I don't like violence. But, you know, I mean, you, what else can one do? You know,
run. That's the other option. Well, their options are leave, deal with it, or fight back.
Yeah,
pretty much.
I actually thought I gave a lot of real thought to leaving to New Zealand, guys. Like to just up and leave because it's gotten pretty bad, you know. And it's
I watched the episode of South Park where the Butters was pretending to be a Mexican kid, and he convinced all the Mexicans it was better in Mexico, so they all went back to Mexico.
I noticed something new at work recently, Freak5 says. A little background first. Guy who was jerking off in the bathroom has a sibling who works there. Before I started, this sibling worked there and quit, and when they came back to the company, they had transitioned MTF. So there are women we work with that work with them as a male and were uncomfortable sharing a bathroom with them as a female.
I never understood that fear, because like, that fear would have still been there.
Yeah. Yeah,
because if you're a woman, the fear of a man always going to the bathroom would have been there. And what about the fear of other women? I mean, people are gonna creep if people are gonna creep.
Yeah,
I never understand what's the fucking big deal about bathrooms.
I don't.
Like, it's all because they've like, sexualized and made these people that are different than them are somehow more sexually perverse than they are.
Okay, this is analogous. Check this out.
I gotta piss, or maybe wash my hands.
I go to the bathroom to go to the bathroom.
This is analogous.
Everybody goes to the bathroom to go
Eric,
to the bathroom.
Hang on, Eric.
Is media influencing them? Like they see too many people doing things in like porn or something, and then they get that idea.
No, look, Eric. This is an analogous to the satanic panic, right? It's just something to cry about and bitch about. You know, there's little to no evidence to prove that anybody has been molested in the bathroom other than by straight people, you know? So it's just something to fear monger over. This is what I'm talking about. There's always some fear mongering. Like it just,
but Scott says they don't want uncomfortable dick hanging out that they don't want to see. Why would they see it?
Yeah. See,
unless they're looking.
Yeah. Shouldn't they be making those bathrooms in such a way that nobody should be able to see anyone anyway?
I agree. Look, I've said that.
Walk around naked.
Scotoma, let me.
The problem isn't that men and women or people with certain body parts are going to certain restrooms. The problem is they don't make their restrooms good enough.
Look, here's I've heard this in a few places. When we were growing up, all right, I had a sister, right? And a mom and a dad, right? Traditional family. Neither of us were gay. Just traditional family growing up, right? It's traditional dysfunctional family. We all went to the same bathroom, male and female. So what is the big fucking deal?
Not at the same time, though, because usually the bathroom is only big enough for one person.
No, right? I didn't say we all went at the same time. But what I'm saying is, so get over that fear. And then, but I agree with you guys.
But also, like, get over the fact that Eric, people have body parts and nakedness is a thing. Eric. It's like being Eric, like asking a woman to put more clothes Eric, over themselves because you right. get aroused I'm, by it or something.
Eric, I'm going to try to make this point, so please let me finish this, and then we will finish the news, right?
Yeah, just said, I don't want to pee in front of anybody. I just want my own thing. Like, that's what I want. I just want
okay,
my own stall.
This is, okay, this is what I'm saying. I've made this argument for years. The bathroom should be private for everybody. And the you know how, like, in bathroom stalls, they leave a portion open at the bottom and at the top? Why? Why? Why shouldn't that extend all the way up? And if you have three or four stalls, they should be completely private from everybody, up to and including stand-up urinals. Because I don't want, I mean, I'm with you guys. I don't want some dude peering over and looking at my junk while I'm pissing. Not because I'm afraid he's going
to
rape me.
Well, that's the reason why urinals were made, because they were too cheap to make a restroom.
I know.
Private stalls everywhere.
That's what I'm saying, so, Eric.
That incident happened to him.
Okay.
Have you guys ever had somebody like peeking over at you?
No. I have a couple of times, but it's more of like somebody trying to talk to me about whatever. Like if I was at a sporting event or
no, you've got ears.
You know, or
people are drunk, so that's what they're like. And everybody's talking.
But
so
look, like, if yeah. if everybody has a urinal, even or a sit down toilet. With walls that extend all the way up so nobody can see you, then this problem wouldn't even exist. It wouldn't even be a thing. Nobody would complain. There would be nothing to complain about. You see what I'm saying? There's nothing to complain at that point. All right, so Stray Gods. All right, so Stray Gods, the musical, launching on August 3rd for PC. I've never heard of a role-playing musical. But here we go.
Don't even call them transgender, Skoda. When they're transgender people. They're people above else.
That's the whole point that I try to make. Like people are people. Like why are we judgmental about somebody before we even know who they are? Like, it's just an asinine argument. Like, I don't like somebody because they're transgender. I don't like somebody because they're black. I don't like somebody because they're brown. I don't like somebody because they're white. I mean, it just goes on and on. I don't like somebody because they're Jewish. I don't like somebody because they support this person. I don't like... Yeah, I mean, stop. Just let's just stop. People are people. We're all people. We're all on the same. We're all poor. We're all part of the 99%. All right. There's nobody amongst us that we know are multimillionaires or billionaires. Are we back? man, I don't know what's going on here. Let's see. Are we back, everybody? All right. Let's continue on here. Eric, next story, please.
Next story is Stray Gods role-playing musical is launching on August 3rd for PC. And, yeah, just PC for now. Steam and the Humble Store. No, Epic Game Store. Game Life in 2019 as a fig crowdfunding campaign under the title Course, an adventure musical, raising more than $690,000 for the project.
And wait, I think you read my story, Eric.
Oh, sorry.
Ravenlock.
Wait, are you sure?
Yes, I read that story, Eric.
Oh.
Ravenlock.
Sorry, folks. But I really don't remember you doing that.
I just did. I literally just did before we got
maybe
to this.
Maybe because we were on such a tangent so long I forgot about it.
All right, well, let's go. Come on.
but Ravenlock's coming out May 4th.
All right. It looks cool. This is like a... kind of like
I'm
a,
only asking you because your memory could be not so great sometimes.
No, I'm very aware that I read the last story, Eric. All right. Breakman, next story. The dungeon... what is this?
It's just live from RPG site. Dungeon Crawler RPG Labyrinth of Zangetsu to release on April 20th for PlayStation 4, Nintendo Switch, and Steam. So grab yourself a bong, pack it up, and you can play this game all day. Well, you know.
It looks good. It looks like a Japanese Etrian Odyssey-esque black and white adventure.
It's for the seven developers that made this other game, but I kind of forgot what it was called, but they self-published that one, but I guess they needed a publisher for this one.
Mm.
It has ink brush art style, they call it. That is neat looking.
Yeah, it sort of looks like Darkest Dungeon in like Japanese style, sort of. But you're not side by side. You're sort of like Etrian Odyssey, like dungeon crawling. Looks good. I'm interested in this game. I just hope it's not like fucking balls hard, you know? All right.
Oh yeah, one thing about Ravenloft that I didn't even mention, but it's coming to Game Pass and PC.
Okay. Next story comes to us from RPG site. Final Fantasy Distant Worlds concert goes to Detroit in June 2023. So, it'll come to Michigan City on July. What does it say? June. I think they meant July. July 29, 2023. So that must be just a little thing, but that's really cool. If you're in Detroit, I would highly recommend going to see some live.
I've always wanted to see a Distant Worlds, but traveling costs money.
Yeah, I mean, it's not that far from you, Eric. That, I don't know. Like,
it'd be like 6 hours for me, I think.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, that would be kind of a drive, though. Like, yeah. All right, but really cool. Maybe it'll come closer to you next time. Eric, like maybe, I don't know what's close to you, Columbus or
I think there's the Blossom Theater in Cleveland, but
Cleveland, there you go.
Yeah. But like they had the Zelda one there, but like that also cost money that I didn't have.
Yeah, I know.
and then the time to actually go do it.
Yeah, money's always an issue. See that? I mean, we could never and do the I, things we wanted.
I think
to
I might have. Worked up the nerve to go there, but then I end up getting sick around that time anyway. So, yeah.
All right, Eric, next story, please.
Women's
bathroom.
Do it right before winter, of course they did.
Women's bathrooms are always nastier, Breakman. Always.
But, anyways, Rhapsody Marl Kingdom's got it. Marking Chronicles has got a release date for August 29th, North America, September 1st in Europe. PlayStation 5 and the Nintendo Switch. I think it's actually just a PS4 game, but it will play on the PS5. Okay. Anyways, because it'd be kind of weird just to do the PS5 version, not a PS4 version.
Yeah, it would be. That is weird.
Maybe they forgot to mention it. I don't know. There is a dual version of the game, and they just got the platforms listed wrong.
This came out a long time ago, didn't it? Originally? Yeah.
Anyways, it comes with Rhapsody 2, Ballad of the Little Princes, and Rhapsody 3, Memories of the Marl Kingdom, which are the last two entries in the Marl Kingdom series, and never been localized until now.
That's a word that's hardly ever used. Marl. M-A-R-L. All right, anything else on that, Eric?
Also, September 8th in Oceania, it mentions here. Oh, yeah, and there's also the PC platform that it'll be released on. You also buy them separately. There's probably a bundle for both, but you're not getting the dual pack like you are with the Switch and the PS5. But, that's it, really.
All right. Next story, Breakman.
Comes to Spy Gumbatsu. Strategy RPG Crosstales launches July 20th for PS5, Xbox Series, PS4, Xbox One, and the Switch, and the PC. Oh, sorry. Too many hands there. There you go.
Alright, Crosstales, there you go. Another strategy RPG. What is the key to actually playing and beating a strategy RPG, Breakman?
A lot of trial and error.
Just trial and error, that's it?
Like, there's a lot of... For me, usually, it's like trying to figure out what strategy is going to work best, and just trying your strategy over and over again, different variations of it, and just... There's a lot of
strategy RPGs will give you a percentage of what you're about to do, the success rate will be.
Ah, I got you. Okay. Yeah, I'm going to have to try an easy one at some point. One of the easier strategy RPGs again.
There's always Shining Force. That's like one of the easiest.
Yeah. Oh, Shining Force. I haven't heard that name in a long time. All right, let's see. Break did that one, so I will do the next one. This is an interesting story. Can you hear us in chat? Because we went silent there for a second. Let me know if you can hear us in chat. That'd be great. That'd be
also great. It's interesting to see Kemco publish a game that isn't just a generic cookie cutter turn-based RPG.
Yeah. Okay. This is interesting, guys. Suicide Squad comes to us from Gamatsu. Kill the Justice League, delayed to February 2024.
I'd be glad if they just canceled the game because it looks awful.
I haven't seen too much on it.
All right. Basically, they said they're doing it for polish, but I'm sure they got lots of negative feedback based on their presentation in the last state of play that it was featured in, because a lot of the characters have the same movesets. They all have jetpacks. They're all using guns. And they've got, like, one superpower that's basically the same, even though it's supposed to look different.
I mean, it's got to be better than Avengers, right?
And it's also a live service game, or at least...
Oh, never mind.
So now they're probably delaying it till next year to rework it to not be as live service-y.
Okay, so this is basically Anthem plus Avengers.
They say it's not for gameplay changes, but it's totally for gameplay changes, because yeah. People complained.
So this is basically Anthem plus Avengers, is what you're saying,
yes.
Eric.
Yeah. DC. This is DC, not Avengers.
Well, but I'm saying this is Anthem plus Avengers.
Because at least Avengers was a beat-em-up. This is just shooting at things.
Avengers was a beat-em-up?
Yeah, kind of.
God. I didn't even think it was that. I thought it was just flying a jetpack.
I don't think you fly around in Avengers unless you're playing as a character that can fly.
Well, yeah, all I saw was all the Iron Man shit, so...
But,
okay.
But, yeah, so Gotham Knights was also a live service game. It was reworked to not be a live service game.
Are they going to learn their lesson that live service games just aren't
working? And the game's
working?
Probably going to run at 30 FPS like Redfall's also going to do.
Ugh. This 30 people...
It's like, I swear, ever since Xbox bought Arkane Studios, their games have just gotten shittier.
Yeah, well, expect the same from Obsidian and... What else did they buy? Not Obsidian, Blizzard and... Not Blizzard. what the fuck is that major company that they bought?
Bethesda?
There we go. I didn't hear you, Eric. All right, last story, Eric.
Why do you always seem to forget the company now?
They're all blend. They're the fucking same,
dude.
Bethesda's
like a big white spot in Frank's brain now.
Ugh, God, I'm trying to forget Bethesda, man. All right, go ahead, Eric. Last story.
Since it's not really Bethesda anymore, it's ZeniMax with Bethesda stuff.
Yeah, well, there you go.
Who's owned by, like...
Eric, let's go, come on.
...brother or something.
Let's go, let's do the last story. Let's get through it.
Endless Dungeon has been delayed. I guess they gotta figure out how to make it not so endless.
they didn't have an end to the game, so they finally had to find an end to the game.
The game's gonna come out October 19th.
Did they say why on this
comes
one?
Out then? Early access will be available on October. So it's not even in early access right now. This is the date for early access.
Oh, I know. It says right here that incorporate community feedback. So at least they're being honest. That's cool. You know? All right. Well, very cool. Finally got through the news there, guys. Let's see.
Oh, wait. It's early access. It's Sega's idea of early access where, well, if you pre-order the digital version of the game, you can play it a few days earlier.
Right. All right. Anybody got any homie discounts?
We got the PlayStation Plus games catalog update for those who have the extra and premium tiers.
Oh, okay. Ooh.
But it always comes out in the middle of the month. I don't understand it. Why they wait until the middle of the month?
I don't
just
know
like
either.
Xbox does with its stuff sometimes.
Yeah.
Kena, Bridge of Spirits, Doom Eternal, Riders Republic. Those are all going to be available via the extra. As well as The Evil Within and Bassmaster Fishing. and Paradise Killer, Monster Boy and Curse of Kingdom, Riders Republic, Sackboy A Big Adventure, Slay the Spire, Wolfenstein The Old Blood, Wolfenstein 2 and the New Colossus. It doesn't mention whether or not these are extra or premium onlys, which is weird, because some games are like that.
I don't know.
But the classics catalog for classic games are Doom, Doom 2, and Doom 64, and Doom 3, and I'm going to assume that these are the Doom 3 is probably the PS3 version, and these other ones are probably... Doom 1 and 2 are probably the PlayStation 1 ports, and Doom 64 is probably the recent release of Doom 64 that happened a couple of years ago.
All right.
And you can just buy in the store already along with Doom 1 and Doom 2.
Wow, I think this is a bigger story down here, Eric. Marvel, Spider-Man, Resident Evil, NBA 2K, Playgrounds 2 will be some of the titles leaving.
Yeah, so games sucks. Are leaving.
Yeah. Marvel, Spider-Man.
I mean, I can kind of understand Marvel leaving, because even though Sony published, they still have to pay for that license, and they probably don't want to pay anymore, so that's why it's leaving.
I guess.
Spider-Man leaving. That'd be like Halo leaving Microsoft. Game
Pass. Don't you know that Marvel has a license on that? Disney's probably one of
the things
that
Sony they
doesn't want to pay.
They work look. Spider-Man. Sony owns license of Spider-Man, Eric.
No, it owns the license for movies.
I think they own publishing rights
and
on
games, but when it comes to actually hosting it on your service, you still have to pay Disney a cut because they own Marvel.
I guess. I almost was certain that Spider-Man was almost completely owned by Sony.
Like the entire front, that's why they were able to do things like Morbius and stuff like that, because they own the entire franchise.
Yeah, yeah. Well, let's move on, guys, to...
Except Marvel still makes Spider-Man comics, so...
They own all the rights to the comic books.
Disney still owns the IP in whole.
Right. Disney owns Marvel. Marvel still owns all the comic book rights, so they can make whatever comic book they want. They just can't make Spider-Man movies or games without Sony's permission. You know, they just can't. Right. I don't have a Dear Breakman for you this week, Break, but... we can talk about what we've been playing.
Inquiring minds want to know.
Inquiring minds want to know what you've been playing, Breakman.
I'm not much. I've been busy watching stuff and making the tournaments. I said tournaments because I made two, not just one.
So. Ooh, that's cool. We're only going to do one this month, right?
The next one will be... I set it up so these two work in tangent of one another.
Okay.
So the small one... We'll lead right into the little one.
Oh.
I mean, the little one will run into the big one.
All right, that sounds great. So we're doing two rounds today, or just one?
Two rounds, because we got to do the 32 bracket and one month, so we got 2 weeks.
Okay,
so that's gonna be the first two rounds.
All right, sounds good. All right, let's
play this week's Civilization. That's it.
Oh, Civilization? Okay. Wow, what a shock! You haven't stopped playing Civilization, Break.
What are you trying to say?
Nothing. I think it's great. I think it's great that you have limited your video game playing to Civilization of all games. But you know,
days, like, you're only playing Halo. Oh, I'm only playing Civ now.
Right. All right, Break. I'm sorry, Eric. What have you been playing?
I've been just playing. I played a little bit more Resident Evil 4, and I finished my hardcore playthrough, mainly just to collect enough money to buy the Infinite Rocket Launcher so I could just blow everything to hell when I do my professional playthrough, so I could get the S rank and unlock a couple other things, and then try to do the professional S plus rank on a new game so I can get the final thing that will help me get other things.
You should be able to get S
plus. Because the only thing left, since I got the hand cannon, I think there's still the challenge for the hand cannon. I'm not sure that's related to the platinum or not. I might have to go through those motions, even though I unlocked it through an alternate method, because it's still one of the things you have to unlock in the challenge menu, and I think that might be one of the trophies that you have to get, unlock all the challenges, or at least most of them, to like get, because like, I knew Resident Evil Village had a trophy that was tied to you unlocking all the extra character models and such. Yeah, so I have to make sure, I have to be careful what I'm buying in that shop.
Yeah.
It's going to be hard to play professional S rank because I have to do it on a new game. That means I have to play through the first 5 chapters and get through them quickly, and dealing with tougher enemies while not having assisted aim and having to rebuild my weapons from zero because it's a new game instead of a new game plus. And until I can get the Chicago typewriter and use the weapon ticket I use from getting all those things to just get the unlock the infinite ammo, which may make that run a lot easier. It's going to be a challenge up to that point.
You can just watch a playthrough, Eric. You can run past a lot of enemies.
Technically, I could cave to Capcom's sleazy microtransaction scheme where you could buy those tickets, and those tickets will be available right from the start, so I don't need to collect all those spinals to get the ticket normally. But I'm not going to do that. Because that's exactly what they want me to do.
Well, like I said, just watch a playthrough. You can run past a shit ton of enemies in that game.
But other than that, I can play Altair Ryza, because I need to play Ryza and Ryza 2 now, because I got code for Ryza 3, because apparently one PR studio is giving me code again, because I don't know why, but I'm glad, I guess.
Yeah, that's cool. I mean,
cool. But I also played a game called Hunt the Night, which we talked about, and it's fun. I hope it doesn't remain locked on PC for too long, because I think people deserve to play it on other platforms.
Yeah.
But I might have to restart my game over from scratch, because apparently the final release build saves are incompatible with the saves that were on the pre-release build. But I'm not very far into it. It's a rather lengthy like intro, because you're stuck in this intro area for like an hour or two, and then you're free to actually explore the overworld and do the game. And so it's a really long segment of the game. I have to replay about 2 hours of the game again. It's kind of annoying. I mean, they did provide me save files, but I've been playing it on my Steam Deck, so now I have to go into desktop mode and figure out how to transfer that stuff and whether or not I should even bother, because I kind of don't want a pre-selected file made for me.
Alright, what else have you been playing?
I also have been playing Octopath Traveler 2, which, I'm not quite done with all the chapter ones yet, which would be put me at the point where the demo ends after all the chapter ones are completed. I think you could still play the game, you just won't be able to go anywhere else. Mm-hmm. But, so I've been doing that, and it's going to be hard to pull me away, so I could play Ryza instead, because I have to get through both of those.
Yeah.
The only reason I played Octopath Traveler 2 today is because it was my day off, and so I'm going to go right back to work tomorrow, I guess.
You have to work on Saturday?
Well, playing a game is considered work, yes.
Oh, I got
you. For the sake of doing reviews. Which is also why I haven't put any reviews out this week, because I decided I was going to get through all of the rest of Cells at Work Code Black, which I'll have a review for you guys later.
Yeah. Okay, I've been playing Pillars of Eternity. Breakman, I don't know if you've ever played that game, but it's pretty fucking awesome, dude. Pretty fucking awesome.
You know, like, when you get my age, like, you start forgetting what you've played.
It's less of a loot fest than Diablo, but the story is fucking strong, man. Story is really strong. I'm really digging it. I'm having kind of a hard time because I suck at video games, but it's just what it lacks in like basically explaining how to upgrade your character or anything. It really, makes up for in spades with story and engagement. It's really good. All right, let's go to reviews.
RP Grinders reviews.
Breakman, did you have any reviews this week?
I guess I could review it. Me and Mrs. Breakman watched a new show. It just happened to have its season finale this week. We didn't even know. We're just just kind of happened that way. It's a brand new show on Paramount TV. Or Paramount app.
Paramount Plus? It's Paramount Plus, sir.
So, while waiting for Beavis and Butthead, we watched a show called School Spirits, which is about a girl who dies in high school, and she finds that there are other kids that died in high school, and they're all haunting the school, so to speak, because they can't actually interact with anybody. Is it called she's calling it purgatory. I call it hell. If you're stuck in high school for eternity, that's hell.
Yeah, pretty much.
I can't imagine anything worse, really. So anyway, she finds that she can actually interact with one person, and they go about trying to solve her murder. And it's an 8-episode thing, and there's they see the ending, but they kind of. It's not like that last movie where that last series I watched where they didn't reveal anything at the end. It was just like, oh, we don't know. They did reveal everything, but it kind of changed everything at the end. But other than that, I enjoyed the series. Pretty good. I okay. want to see where they go, even though I wasn't happy with the ending, personally.
So what are you giving it, Rake?
What do you think? Six? Yeah, I think 6.5. Yeah.
Okay, that's fair. It's above average, so that's cool.
It was a fun thing. It was easy to watch. There wasn't as much high school drama angst as you get usually in these shows. It was more because it was mostly about, you know, she's dead and who killed her.
Yeah. All right. Okay. Sounds at least semi interesting, so check that out.
What movie was it?
It's a series.
Yep. School Spirits.
School Spirits.
Yeah.
What is that on?
Paramount Plus.
Okay.
All right, Eric, I'm going to do mine next real quick because I got four of them, and I'm going to do them really, really fast. Mm. Big Mouth Season 6, I alluded to it earlier. I think every season there's always something funny in these seasons to really laugh at and kind of have a good time, but I've noticed something about this series. I'm kind of getting fatigued by Big Mouth, and it, even though it's still kind of funny, actually it's really funny in some parts. I just think that the whole watching these kids, and that's what they are, go through puberty is probably not something that I almost feel weird watching it. I don't know. I can't explain it, but we always talk about anime and how, you know, some of those characters are over-sexualized as, you know, younger characters and stuff like this. Well, this is in-your-face sexualization. Like, it they get to the point. You know, they don't overtly show, you know, nudity all the time or anything like
that. They do show nudity in that show, maybe not all the time, but there's a lot in there.
Right, but like, they don't necessarily show you sex unless it's older people. But I did like this season, but I'm it's getting long in the tooth for me. I give this season a 7.5 out of 10. I thought it ended really well. It was pretty fun.
It keeps getting seasons, but like I feel like they've done as much as they possibly can, but now they're just beating a dead horse.
I don't think so, Eric. This season actually would have more meaning for you. Because
I don't know, it's not a show I'll ever watch because, well, I think the art style is completely offensive.
Well, the art style, I mean,
and I'm not sure I'd actually like it anyway.
Okay, Eric, if you haven't seen it, then I don't understand why you would criticize it. Like,
not criticizing it. I'm saying it doesn't appeal to me.
Well, if it doesn't appeal to you, that's one thing. Okay, but I'm saying it's funny. I mean,
saying it's something that might appeal to me, and I'm telling you it probably won't.
Well, I'm telling you that it might, especially this season. I don't know what to say. I mean, it deals with a lot of things.
I don't think I'd want to watch.
Eric, can you let me finish, dude? This is my review, right? Okay.
Story goes, he would really have to watch the rest of the seasons to get up there.
I don't think so. I think you could watch season 6 and you could get the gist of what this show is. And
I'd
also
have to watch at least the first episode to get an idea of all the characters
and,
first.
And also, this deals with themes that you've talked about quite a bit on throughout the years on this show, Eric. So I'm saying they did a pretty good job this season. Especially with one character in particular. I'm not going to spoil anything, but it's good. I mean, a 7.5 out of 10 for me. The next movie I'm going to talk about is called Infinity Pool. And this stars Mia Goth and Alexander Skarsgård. And it's a horror movie in a way, kind of a body horror movie, but also like a weird science fiction clone movie is the best way that I can put to it. It's worth your time. It's a think piece. It's a Brandon Cronenberg movie, so you kind of have to really kind of think about the themes, the underlying themes, and not shut off your brain when you watch this movie. Mia Goth is batshit crazy and awesome in this movie. I really like this movie. I give it an 8 out of 10. I highly suggest you watch it. It's something different. It's not, you know, it's an original IP. It's nothing that you've ever seen before. It's not quite as good as Possessor. Possessor's just batshit crazy. And I've reviewed Possessor on this show before, but Infinity Pool is definitely worth a watch. So check that out. Definitely very mature, so it's not a kids type of thing. None of that.
Nah, Shudder.
No, I rented it from the Redbox. It probably will be out on like one of the big services, maybe HBO Max or Hulu or something. I don't know, but it's good. I highly recommend watching it.
That reminds me, it's going to be called the Max, just Max.
I know. It's really weird.
So I refuse. It's going to be called HBO Max. Yeah. Just like, this is how we can bully the company into just changing it back, because it worked for Sony, because they wanted to rename PSN to SEI, and no one did it, and they just like, fine, we'll give up.
I don't know.
Technically still is on papers and legal and copyright documents, but it's not really. Nobody calls it.
Shut up, Brake, you son of a bitch.
I can't believe there's still red boxes.
I know. But hey, it's the cheapest way to see it. I didn't want to.
Look, don't even think the Walmart I go to.
Like, we're talking about.
Has one anymore.
A lot of Walmarts don't anymore. But we're talking about the difference between spending $4 on a rental and $1 or $2. I mean, so I got it. If I can get something for half price, I'm gonna fucking do it, man. I don't have a lot of money, so
does Vudu ever have like rental sales?
Yeah, they have like 99-cent, $2 sales all the time. But on certain things, I mean, you might as well just wait till you can buy something for $5. A lot of times they have movies that you can buy for $5, which I like a lot. Like I bought a lot of movies that way, you know, especially if I know I'm going to watch it more than once, then I'll buy it. All right. My next review is for a movie called Plane. It's with Gerard Butler. This was above average movie. I did not expect this movie to be as good as it was. It's pretty fantastic.
It's so funny because the reviews, I mean, because the ads I saw for it just made it look like typical stereotypical action movie.
Yeah, that's what I was expecting, Eric, to be honest. But oh, by the way, I didn't spend a penny on any of these movies. I rented 3 from the Redbox, and I spent a total of $0.00 because I had like through my mobile carrier T-Mobile, they give you free Redbox movies all the time. And I had enough points saved up, apparently, to get another one. So I didn't spend a penny on them. But normally it'd be like $2. But Plane was actually a really good movie. It was about a pilot who has to maneuver his plane through an electrical storm. It obviously gets hit by lightning, and it knocks out all of the gears. So they end up landing on a hostile mountain. Or not mountain, I'm sorry, island. and, you know, with some gorillas, not like real gorillas, but like
gorillas. So there's a drug war or something going on?
Well, it's like in the Philippines, and like this particular island was run by drug runners, bad people, basically. And it was, I'm telling you guys, this movie was probably the surprise hit of the year for me. I did not expect this movie to be as good as it was. It had a good plot, a lot of fun action. Gerard Butler as a badass, which is always fun. And the guy who played Luke Cage was in it, and he was a badass too. The only thing I didn't like is they left his ending ambiguous, because he plays a criminal that was being transported in this plane, and they showed him with the bag of money, and then you don't get to see what happens
plane
to him.
Plane 2, it's about him now.
Yeah, I mean, maybe, I don't know, but it would be a fun way to maybe revisit, but it's actually a really good movie. I mean, even though the
name says he wants to see gorillas.
I do too. That'd be cool.
It doesn't Gorilla Grodd have a sidekick that's basically that?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, even though the name makes it seem like it's going to be really plain, I made a pun there. It actually is above average. I highly recommend people watch this. I give it an 8 out of 10. And then the biggest disappointment was for me, Batman Doom. The doom that came to Gotham. I was hoping that this would have given me everything that I wanted. How dare you, Breakman? My pun was great. I was slightly disappointed with this.
Adaptation of one of the comic lines?
It is.
Because I remember seeing Justice League Doom. So it's like,
no,
call it Doom again.
This is different. This is basically a plague is coming to Gotham. It's an alternative history timeline, Batman timeline show is the best way. But it does incorporate Lovecraftian elements in it, which was kind of decent. But it just seemed like a coherent mess to me. And I mean, it just—I don't know if they didn't have enough time.
Who's the director?
I have no idea, but it just seemed like it just didn't have enough time to develop into what it was. It was a contained story, but you had the same elements, you know, Bruce's parents dying and yada yada yada. I mean, it didn't hit the beats for me like I thought it would. Like I would have thought that it would have been awesome.
Don't make Bat-Thulu instead.
I mean, it was really weird. I mean, I can't wait till you guys see it so you can tell me what you think of it.
I still need to watch a lot of, like, most recent I need to go back as far as Red Son for Superman.
Yeah.
All the stuff that came out after that, basically.
Yeah, to hurry up with this, because we're really short on time, I'm giving it a 5 out of 10. I thought it was average at best. Maybe you guys disagree with me when you see it, but... I mean, just really weird, because I thought it would be... There was one awesome thing that happened in it that I don't want to spoil, but other than that, it's not great. I mean, the villains were, you know, some familiar ones, but I don't know. What they did with them was kind of weird, but, you know, whatever. All right, Eric, can you please do your reviews as quickly as
possible? Okay, Cells at Work Seasons 1 and 2. Basically, it's a show about... the human body and the cells that work within it to make it work. And all the problems that come with that, like the white blood cells having to kill all the germs and bacteria and viruses that invade the body systems.
Yeah.
And the red blood cells that have to deliver oxygen everywhere, and the different other cells if they're a different task. And like some that are goofy looking, like the hair cells are just like people wearing costumes. It's like a hair follicle on their head. Yeah. And it's cute, and like it's also very violent, because when they kill the blood cells, they actually bleed whatever it is the cells are made up of, but it looks like blood. And those are fun two seasons. I don't know if there'll be a season 3. There probably should be, because there's still content from the manga to adapt. And there's like several other spin-offs, and one of them only one of them's got an anime adaptation. That'd be Cells at Work Code Black, and it's a very different in tone show, because it's about the body of an aging man who's basically ruined his body by not taking care of it, and it's basically falling apart. And all the red blood cells and all those other cells are overworked, and it feels more like metaphors and analogs to commentate on the human condition of the real world, because everything's run down and getting worse, just like real life.
Yeah, well, you know.
And in fact, a lot of what's going on in the real world is probably why this guy is the way he is, and why the body is failing, because you hear about all the stress that this person's sitting under, which might be producing these conditions, and which also leads to him wanting to escape them through alcohol.
Yeah. All right, so what are you giving all these series, Eric?
I'm giving Cells at Work Season 1 and 2 an 8.5 out of 10, and Code Black also an 8.5 out of 10.
Okay, awesome.
I don't know if that's going to get a season 2, because even though it really should, because season 1 ends on a cliffhanger.
All right. Anything else you want to say on that before we move on, Eric?
They're on Crunchyroll and the Funimation app, and they may or may not be on Hulu if you've got that. They probably aren't, though.
They could do a Cells at Work STD break, man. They probably could. It's a fun show.
They cover that in episode 3 of Code Black.
Yeah. Oh, really? Wow. Okay. Yeah. That's cool.
Oh, it doesn't sound like he didn't a lot. Like, I thought he was really breaking down. Shouldn't he have, like, several?
What else, Eric?
I think that's all I need to say. Right. Oh, yeah. If you want... The one thing that's annoyed me is that season 1 of Cells at Work and season Cells at Work Code Black do not have English captions if you play it with the English dub, because I don't know, but season 2 of Cells at Work does.
Hmm.
It's weird.
Well, maybe because they figure you understand English, and why would you need the subtitles?
If you're deaf and you just don't want to watch a show.
That's true, too. I mean... Good point, Eric. All right.
Or if you have problems with listening to what people are saying because the audio is not mixed.
Or if you have a deficit disorder or something like that. Yeah. Okay. Let's move on to everybody's favorite segment.
What is it?
Stinko of the Week.
All right, Breakman, what you got for us?
I get a few. Most of them go to Texas. Well, first they've decided Greg Abbott decided that people with simple marijuana convictions should stay in prison, but a racist who murders people should be exonerated.
Yeah, Texas got a Texas, bro. I mean, you know.
The guy admitted it. He said online what he was going to go do. He went and did it. They were able to prove it wasn't done in self-defense. Like, the person he killed had his gun pointed down at the time. He wasn't pointing at him, like he said. They got it on video. And he's going to be exonerated by the governor.
Like I said, Texas got a Texas.
Is what he said. Whatever. Anyway, so let me see. What else has Texas also done? Oh, yeah, they have a judge who's decided using false facts, you know, lies, that abortion drug isn't, that the FDA lied about it, and that it shouldn't be off the market.
You know? Yeah, yeah, well, I mean...
Which is a total fucking lie in itself.
I think, like, Eric had that one last week, but yeah, that's, I mean, it's still terrible. What else you got, Break?
I had another one with Texas, and I can't remember what it was, but... Yeah, Florida governor in the dead of night last night passed the 6-week abortion bill.
Yeah, that's my stinko.
Yeah, that's Eric stinko as well. That's crazy.
But on top of that, Florida's also now forcing rape victims to prove evidence of their rape.
Yep.
Which you can't find out until like 15 weeks later, which the previous ban will just make null and void, so it's an effective ban on abortion.
Yeah,
I wish I could remember that show I watched. It like made me so uncomfortable because it kind of goes through what the process is for a rape victim, Rape victims are raped again by the system.
Yep.
Yeah. They're humiliated. They're stripped of their clothes, and they have to take tests, and you know they have to answer all the questions. They have to describe everything in detail over and over again. Their blood taken. They got to have a swap for like semen and stuff like that. Like they're just. It is a horrible way that rape victims are treated. So a lot of them don't want, and besides that, there's also usually fear. A lot of them don't want to come forward, you know?
Yeah.
And to have to get proof that you were raped so you can get an abortion is...
Yeah, so that means you have to show, like a paternity test or something?
I don't know. The saddest
or thing, get their DNA.
The saddest thing I saw...
And DNA,
the saddest thing I saw was E. Jean Carroll talking about how she kept the dress when Trump's allegedly, at this point I have to say allegedly, raped her. She kept the dress because it was a reminder of what she had went through and to never go through it again. It was fucking harrowing. Gross, and you're right, Brake. I mean, to go through that process again and basically be raped again by the system is just, it's just unconscionable. And it's a flaw that needs to be fixed, for sure. And
women are generally not believed over men.
Yep.
Except when it comes to child care. And when it comes to child care, it's the exact opposite. Everything else, women are less believed than men.
Yep. Yep. And it's weird. All right. Anything else you got, Brake?
Yeah, one. This one's a personal one. The fucking HBO app. What the... I've complained about it before, like, shutting down on me. I couldn't even watch an episode of South Park without it crashing 4 or 5 times. And I don't have an internet connection.
On your phone, or...? Yeah.
First, you have to be on your Wi-Fi, which is stupid to begin with. None of the other apps make you use your Wi-Fi. So I'm at the mercy of Spectrum for that. But it was crashing when the internet was working just fine.
That's weird.
Stupid fucking apps. I'm sick of their shit.
Yeah, you know what? Like, the one thing that I hate, not in regards to that, but I have this OBS app. And I try to, like, switch back and forth to my 2 YouTube accounts, and it fucking crashes on me all the time, and I fucking hate it. So I know your frustration, Brake. It sucks. Yeah, I mean,
they're announcing pricing tiers, too. Like, fuck that. Like, god damn it. Like, you're already the highest... You are the most expensive app now, HBO. Good job.
Yeah, they're going to lose a lot of people. They're going to lose a lot of people. A lot of people. Okay, Eric, did you already mentioned the Florida?
I have one more thing.
Okay, go ahead.
I showed you on phone a while ago.
Yeah, yeah.
Matt Mercer is apparently going to be the voice of Ganondorf in Tears of the Kingdom. And a lot of people were like, yay, because he's apparently a good voice actor, but he's also on Critical Role. And I think for one of the episodes of Critical Role, he did a cosplay of Ganondorf, but he did so with fake nose prosthetics and brown face.
Yeah, that's...
And this is yet another example of a white guy getting picked over somebody who's a person of color to represent a person of color.
Not a very good look, Matt Mercer.
Not to mention that, like, Ganondorf's look in general is basically Orientalism on the Bwana people, but...
Yeah. Well, I mean...
So like, I wonder how many people saw the brown face of his that he did, and if they still like him. Yeah. They probably don't care. They probably just want to play the game, because a lot of people, for a lot of things, are kind of people who just came up the hardy, and they don't want to be having people harsh the mellow with racism bullshit.
Well, look, Eric, I've said this to you before.
I'm not going to not play the game.
I know.
It is really gross still.
That's what I'm saying. Like,
is Nintendo's problem.
If we boycotted everything that really irritated us or was really wrong, like, we would never play a video game because there's always somebody.
I'm just especially disappointed with Nintendo because I know. You had an opportunity to be family friendly and inclusive and you chose not to. So when other publishers like Sega are working hard to include people of color,
Mr. Slave
people
edition.
Of color roles and such.
I saw this series, Brake Man, you might be interested on Netflix, called The Bad Exorcist or something like that. It's like a South Park style cartoon from Poland, And, I mean, it's not nearly as great as South Park, but there's a little bit of fun to be had with that series, Breakman. It's kind of fun. What's that?
What's it called?
I think it's called Bad Exorcist. And it's basically about this dude and his demon friend and this other kid that go and fight demons.
Okay.
And like I said, it's not nearly as good as South Park. You're not going to get the side-splitting, you know, stuff mm-hmm. all the time. But there are a couple of moments that are pretty fucking funny in that series, man. My stinko is my sister still hasn't left. I have no idea when she's going to leave. So, you know, that's always cool. All right. Let's move on to happier thoughts, guys.
Dude, what does Brickman hate the series?
Sweet of the week.
Hate what series? Cells at Work? He doesn't hate it. He's just making up different iterations of it. That's all.
I just don't love it like you do. Like, I think it's like a 6 or something. Like, I didn't think it's like
I thought it was pretty fun. I thought it was fun. I'm probably...
I thought it was okay. Like, I didn't...
You
watched the Black Code Black yet?
No, I haven't seen that.
You should probably watch it. You'll probably like it a bit more.
Yeah.
Is that on Netflix, though? Because I got rid of Netflix.
Oh, you got rid of the Netty?
It's not on Netflix. It's on Crunchyroll.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
All right. Let's see. Eric, I didn't... Breakman, you're sweeto.
I am on vacation.
Oh, Thank you. You're on a staycation, it looks like.
I don't know where Mr. Slave Dish came from. Is there a slave cell or something?
You've never watched South Park, have you, Breakman?
No, what's that have to do with Cells at Work? I don't get it.
It has to... Well,
I know who Mr. Slave is.
Okay, well, there you go.
So where he shoves Paris Hilton up his ass.
Yeah.
And she has to explore up his ass, basically, and there are tunnels and stuff like that. So you're in his body.
Look at Scotima says he's getting guitar lessons from a friend in Texas. We video through Discord, and it's fun. That's really cool, Scotima. That's nice.
It's kind of like a Zoom call.
Learn how to play Master of Puppets and record it for me, Scotima. I'll play it on the show. That'd be pretty badass. Okay, so... Let's see.
Yeah, I'm learning to play guitar. Frank's like, here, go to the hard shit first.
I know. Just go right to the hard stuff, man.
Fucking Master Puppets. You got to go to Through the Fire and Flames.
Yeah, Through the Fire and Flames by Dragon Force. There you go, Scotima. That's your
30-minute edition of Inagata DeVita.
Do Rick Astley's I'm never going
to
get
you have to do Through the Fire and Flames, Scotima, but double pace, right? So I've seen people play that double beat, you know, like double whatever they call it, like the pace, like
double speed.
Yeah, in twice the speed. It's fucking crazy, man. All right. I'm kidding.
That's like 8/4 measure or something.
Yeah, like 8/4 measure or whatever it is. It's fucking crazy, man. My sweeto is the weather was nice until today. We actually got snow today, if you can believe that. It was like 70s, 80s, and all of a sudden snow. There's Colorado for you, you know.
That sucks.
Yeah. All right, here's Scotima's favorite part of the show, guys. It's a free-for-all. Breakman, did I skip your sweeto?
No.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
All right. All right. So we're gonna do this mini tourney. Did you send me the link, Breakman?
What if I was on Skype on my phone or not on the computer?
Okay. Well, then we're just gonna have to wing it. Just tell us the matchups. What is the tournament this month?
Okay, I made two tournaments, as I said. One tournament is going to be this is a starting one, the short tournament, the 32 bracket tournament, the greatest fighting game franchise.
Oh, okay. All right,
and that's the 32 tournament. When we go to next month in May, we're going to go to the 64 bracket where we determine of those franchises which is the best fighting game.
Okay, let's go through it. Let's go through it, Breakman.
Starting with the top, Street Fighter series versus Fatal Fury series.
Ooh.
Frank.
You're already hitting us with a good matchup, Breakman. I'm going Street Fighter. I mean, I think it's an obvious choice. Fatal Fury is great. But as a franchise, I don't think it gets much better than Street Fighter. I mean, I'm definitely going Street
Fighter. They're only just now making a new Fatal Fury game. I thought that franchise was basically dead at this point. It was just King of Fighters all the way.
Yeah. All right. What are you picking, Break?
I like Fatal Fury series, though, so it's kind of a shame. But yeah, Street Fighter is just better.
Yeah. It is. I like Fatal Fury, too. I mean, it's good stuff. Yeah. But. All right. What else you got?
You said Street Fighter as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think we're all in agreement. That's, I mean, pretty much a no-brainer.
Next, we have the Blaze Blue franchise versus Darkstalkers. I mean, old school versus new school. Eric, you can start it out.
Both franchises are basically dead, so... the one that lasted longer is more fun to me. I'm playing Blaze Blue.
Yeah, Frank?
I'm going with Darkstalkers because I like the characters a little bit better.
Yeah, I gotta go with you. I'm a fan of the Darkstalkers characters. I mean, the zombie fucking guitarist and the cat girl and
Morgan and the vamp, you know,
vampires, succubus. It's just really cool characters. And little Bo Peep, like she looks like an innocent little girl. She's got all the machine guns and rocket launchers and shit. Yeah,
I wish they would do a new Darkstalkers game in the style of like Street Fighter VI. It would be pretty.
I don't know what Capcom's problem is in not resurrecting that franchise.
I don't know, Eric. It's weird. All right, what else we got, Break?
We have the King of the Fighters franchise versus the Versus Capcom franchise. And when I say Versus Capcom, I mean that's SNK versus Capcom.
Marvel.
Tatsuya versus Capcom. No, not Marvel versus Capcom. That's the...
Oh, gotcha.
This is the bracket. This is the versus Marvel stuff, right?
Yes, exactly. So those games versus King of Fighters. I'm going to go ahead and start with this one. This one's really a hard choice for me because I really liked Capcom versus SNK2.
I'm also going to throw X-Men in there because it might as well be.
I guess if you want. It's not really. I didn't get a sequel, so I guess if you want to go in front of there. However. I really like King of the Fighters. Just there were a couple of years it was great. I know they've thrown like a King of the Fighters every year at us, essentially, which is way too many. But still, there have been really good King of the Fighters, and there have only been a handful of the Capcom games. And like the Tatsunoko versus Capcom was not one of my favorites. Eric, you're next.
I'm gonna go with King of Fighters as well. Because as much as I love... I mean, I barely even play the King of Fighters, but I'd sooner play that over the craziness that is Marvel vs. Capcom and such.
No, this isn't the Marvel vs. Capcom. This is the Tatsunoko vs. Capcom stuff. The Marvel vs. Capcom is its own series.
Oh, okay. I mean, as much as I like Tatsunoko, I'm still going to go over King of Fighters over it because of the way it's matched up.
I wasn't.
If it were any other subject, I probably would have picked Tatsunoko or whatever.
Frank?
I think I'm in agreement with you, Breakman, as well. I think it's King of Fighters.
Oh, wow. Close. King of Fighters moves. Why don't I switch there for it? King of Fighters moves on, and we've been mostly in agreement here.
Yeah, I know.
We might be on this one, too. Tekken Tag Tournament, not Tekken, versus Samurai Showdown. And there's only two Tekken Tag Tournaments, so it's not much of a franchise. Whereas Samurai Showdown's been around since, the early 90s?
Yeah.
I think they stopped making Tag Tournament once they realized they could just add a two-on-two mode to Tekken or something.
But Samurai Showdown was, when it came out, it was different. It was a different fighting game from anything else. It was a slow-paced, strategic type fighting game. Like you're trying to get them with death blows, you know.
And it was the samurai. It's like some of the later entries aren't that great, but I really liked 1 through 3. They were solid entries.
So you can go first.
Eric? I'm going samurai.
Okay, Frank.
I'm in agreement. I think that's it's a pretty good series.
Yeah, I agree too. There, like Eric said, there have been some disappointments in there, but there have been some good.
I played Sen, and apparently, that 4 was kind of but apparently 5 and 6 are like dog shit. And I haven't played the new one, and I probably won't because I don't want to give SNK money unless I buy it used. So who knows? I just haven't got around to it because I'd rather buy other things first.
Yep. All right.
And continuing the 2D versus 3D trend of the last one, Guilty Gear series versus Dead or Alive. Frank, you can start this one out.
Dead or Alive is with all the hot chicks, right? If I remember correctly. What was the other one? Sorry.
Guilty Gear.
Guilty Gear is pretty damn good too, man. I think I'm going to pick Guilty Gear. Normally I'd pick Dead or Alive just because it was it's kind of technical and it did have like very good character models, but I'm going to go with Guilty Gear.
I'm going to go next. Mrs. Breakman, you want to come here for a moment? What game do I want? What game would I pick here? I know you heard. Oh, Dead or Alive versus Guilty Gear. Remember the game with the drunken boxer? That one, yeah. Dead or Alive.
Because of the boobs.
I thought she was going to say Dead or Alive, so she walked in. I'm sorry. I thought you were listening. My bad. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
So, Rick, you're the tiebreaker.
I'm going for Guilty Gear.
Ah, man, I really like the Dead or Alive French. I know it's been people exploit it for the sex and stuff like that, but it is a good fighting game.
It really is. It really is a technical. Maybe that's why I don't like it quite as much as Guilty Gear Breakman. But it really is.
I'm not convinced DOA 7 is going to happen, though, because I think Koei Tecmo burned it to the ground.
It's an underrated. It's an underrated technical masterpiece fighting game for sure.
People just talk about the boobs and stuff like that, but
that's added bonus, though. That's added bonus. I almost voted because of that, but then I'm like, Guilty Gear is a little less technical.
Yeah, but Guilty Gear moves on. Next, we have the Dragon Ball Z Budokai series versus, and I want to stick with the anime.
I don't know if you could call Guilty Gear less technical. It's actually probably the most technical game
really?
You can play. But the thing is, it's set up in such a way that you have to use some of those things if you don't want to.
Yeah, I think that's okay. You're right, Eric, but I just think it's easier to play for that reason.
Because like there's cancels, there's Roman cancels, there's skills that can just instant win the fight.
Yeah,
if you know what you're doing.
Yeah,
the original like counter game, like
countering
moves of your opponents.
Yep. Right.
Anyway, it's not moving on, so it doesn't matter. DBZ Budokai versus Naruto Shippuden Ultimate Ninja Storm franchise. I'm going to go ahead and start this one out. I've actually played... I played one of the old Shippudens, but I was a big fan of the first couple of Budokais, personally. So I got to go DBZ.
Ultimate Ninja Storm, they're fun, but they're not quite the fighting games that they should be. But like they're just barely fighting games. But the Budokai games weren't exactly great either.
First two were fantastic.
Like I'd sooner play FighterZ over any Budokai game.
Yeah, FighterZ is really good though. Like it's a top tier fighting game. It really is. Even for people that aren't Dragon Ball fans, it's a good fighting game. So I don't think it's a fair comparison personally.
I think the Shippuden games have more polish though, so I'm voting for them.
Frank, you're the tiebreaker.
I'm gonna go against Eric on this one. Only because the artwork I love the Toriyama kind of style. So I'm going with the DBZ.
Oh sweet, your love of Dragon Quest brings them the win. Nice, awesome. next. We have a series I've never played. I've only seen screenshots of Skullgirls versus The Art of Fighting, which was the really lame Street Fighter wannabe series.
Wait, and what girls?
Skullgirls.
Oh, Skullgirls, yeah. I play that.
Versus Art of Fighting. Frank, you can start this one out.
What are the two? Art of Fighting and what?
Skullgirls. It's a newer franchise. There are only a couple of them.
I'm just going to go with Doll Girls because it sounds fantastic. I don't think I've
played it. Art of Fighting is dog shit, in my opinion.
S-K-U-L-L.
I'm going with that.
I'm voting for Skull Girls.
Yeah, I'm going with Skull Girls, man, for sure.
Okay. Eric, you're going Skull Girls too? Hmm. I was going to go with Skull Girls also just because Art of Fighting is a dog shit franchise.
Yeah, Art of Fighting sucks.
The only good thing it did was add Ryo and maybe a few other characters from that game into the King of Fighter games.
Next, this is the final of this bracket, the Mortal Kombat series versus Bloody Roar. I think this is an easy one for me, Mortal Kombat.
Yes.
Eric?
Bloody Roar only has like two entries to its name.
There's three.
And, that's right, there was a third one. But while they were fun, Mortal Kombat just had way more appeal. Even though it's not my thing, I'd still vote for Mortal Kombat over it.
And for people who don't like fighting games, they've had versions of Mortal Kombat where they've got puzzle games, they had kart racing in them and shit like that, too.
Scudamore, I do remember Clay Fighter.
I don't remember, like, separate, like, puzzle Mortal Kombat games. I remember them being modes in other games, though.
Yeah.
They're packed with fighting games. I'm just saying for people.
Yeah.
That option there, but Frank, I'm guessing you want Mortal Kombat as
it's,
well.
It's an obvious choice for Mortal Kombat. I mean, I actually think Mortal Kombat
11 have all those mini games bundled together.
I actually think they're separated
by title.
No, Mortal Kombat 11 doesn't have any really mini games. It's just the trips where you search for.
It's the microtransaction simulator too.
Yeah, I actually like Mortal
Kombat. That's why I don't like it at all. It's like I'm never play 11 because they fucked it over.
I really like Mortal Kombat because of the obviously the gruesomeness of it and of the like fatalities. But I also like that they've evolved into quite a technical kind of fighting series. Even if it's not your style, you have to give it a lot of credit. So obviously it's Mortal Kombat. I remember Clay Fighter, Scotoma. It's good.
I personally think the storytelling Mortal Kombat's the best of all.
It is. It's really good. It's really, really good story. All right, let's continue with round two.
Next, we have Super Smash Brothers versus Power Stone. Eric, you can start this one out.
Power Stone is barely a fighting game. It's more of a party game. So, yeah, is Smash Brothers. But Smash Brothers has a lot more fighting mechanics going on under it.
Yeah, so, Frank.
It's obvious. Smash. It's Smash for sure.
But yeah, Smash Bros. Is a really easy choice on this one. Next, we have the Street Fighter Alpha series versus the Tekken series. Frank, you can start this one out.
I was never a fan of the Alpha. I'm going with Tekken. I kind of like Tekken.
I am a fan of both of these series, so this one's kind of hard for me. Just to put Eric on the spot, I'm going to go Alpha. Eric, you're a cyber.
I haven't played Tekken since, like, Tekken 4. And all the Tekkens up to that point felt really floaty and with their mechanics. It never felt right to me, so I never really got into it. But apparently the new ones are great. But I'd still vote for Tekken over the Alpha series, even though I really liked Alpha 3. I know a lot of other people didn't like it, but I liked it due to the sheer character variety and roster over anything.
I was a big fan of Alpha, but whatever. It doesn't live, it dies in the fire to Tekken, whatever.
And Tekken kicked its ass.
what's his name? Anyway, moving on, because we don't really have time for me to do that. So, next, we have Soul Calibur series versus the World Heroes ripoff of Street Fighter series. I mean, this one's pretty obvious. I'm just Soul Calibur, right? Everybody.
Soul Calibur was always one of my favorites, so yeah, obvious. Soul Calibur.
Ass Heroes, World Ass, I don't know.
Yeah, World Ass.
I'm voting for the other game.
Yeah, there were not many fighting game franchises, so things like World Heroes and Art of Fighting got in here.
World Heroes has like three entries, and one of them is just a retread of the second game. With improvements.
Well, this one might be a little bit harder. Injustice series versus Killer Instinct. Injustice has the fantastic storytelling. For me, just the way they do the story, I think that elevates the Injustice series over Killer Instinct. So, Eric, you're next.
Killer Instinct.
Ooh, Frank, you're the tiebreaker.
Oh, this is a really tough one because I like both, actually.
Injustice felt more like... I watched Sony play through the story mode and it did not captivate me at all. It was like,
I love the story in the Injustice games, both of them. But I think because of the uniqueness of Bloody Roar. Oh God, this is really tough, man.
Combo breaker.
Killer Instinct. Yeah. I might have to go Killer Instinct, man, because I remember having a lot of fun with that.
I haven't played a Killer Instinct I didn't enjoy.
Yeah, it's really fun, man. I have to go with that.
And next, I talked about earlier in the Marvel vs. Capcom series versus, and this is probably an easier win for Marvel vs. Capcom because they're going up against Battle Arena Toshinden. Hmm. Yeah. Everybody remembers that game. At the time, it was influential because it was the first 3D fighting game on a home platform. But wow.
Surprisingly, the Saturn entries for the first two games are more enjoyable than the PlayStation ones were.
I don't think that's a surprise. The PlayStation ones weren't that enjoyable with load times and just a really blocky graphics. The PlayStation graphics do not hold up in any way. So Marvel vs. Capcom for me, Frank.
Yeah, Marvel vs. Capcom.
What's really strange is Battle Arena Toshinden was published by Playmates of all... No, the third game was published by Playmates of all people who could publish anything. They chose to publish one video game.
That's weird.
Instead of Turtles Toys or whatever. Because Turtles had basically died at that point.
Yeah. So, what's your vote for?
I'm voting for the other series.
Okay. Next, and it's funny that it was mentioned in chat, but Clay Fighters versus the WCW, WWF franchises of the N64 era. Mm-hmm. This God one's really it. Hard for me, so Frank, you're first.
Why would you do that to me, Breakman? God damn, those WWF games were badass. I always thought
Clay Fighter games were dog shit.
You know what? I'm going to throw a wrench in this. I'm going to say the WW. Oh, God, but Clay Fighter's so fun.
Yeah, like, it was just a whimsical, like, fun game. Like, you're fighting as a snowman.
You know what? I'm going Clay Fighters.
I mean, if you like it from a silliness factor, then fine. But, like, I think everybody can agree Clay Fighter 64 was terrible.
It was, no doubt. Right. But
That one was not good. But, like, the first two were really fun games. Like, just, yeah. They weren't technical, like, the Street Fighter games. It was just, like, it was a fun fighting
game. They played better than Rise of the Robots.
Yeah, I know, right? No, I'm gonna go with Clay Fighter, man. I think it was.
Don't forget Zero Divide too. Yeah. Oh wait,
I mean, that should be your box art. We are better than Robots. Yeah. Second.
What are you picking, Eric?
Definitely not Clay Fighter.
Oh shit!
You're putting on me. So WCW, WWF. Oh man, Clay Fighters are fun fighting games, but there's customizable options with the WCW. In WWF games, and you got finishing moves that you could pull on people. I mean, you could make your own fucking character and make whatever finishing moves you want to give them and
yeah,
shit.
Yeah, I know. That's going to be tough to beat. I thought about that, man. I'm like, I don't know. Just Clay Fighter just has nostalgia.
I know. It is a lot of fun. I hate voting against it, but I'm going to kind of have to. And like I said, there are not that many like fighting game franchises. There are a lot of like one-off fighting games.
Yeah, you've been wrong before, Breakman, so it's all good.
Wait, what? I thought we just... okay. Anyway, you're right. Okay, anyway, next we have the Fight Night EA Sports Boxing Series versus Virtua Fighter. And Eric, you can start up some out.
One of them's strictly boxing, and the other one's a not very good game. So I'm voting for the boxing game.
Okay. Frank?
I disagree. I think Virtua Fighter was fantastic.
Virtua Fighter... Well, is this Virtua Fighter as a series? Because, yeah... Okay. I thought it was just the first Virtua Fighter, so I'm voting... I'm changing my vote to Virtua Fighter. Because I forgot about that, and I heard... Five is a lot. of fun. And Sega, why haven't you done a port of that yet?
Virtua Fighter as a series, as a whole, is one of the most technical. It's the definition to me of great game that you could pick up and play, but also take years to master type deal. So I'm definitely going with Virtua.
I would have gone with Fight Night. I played a lot of Fight Night games. They are a lot of fun.
They are fun.
Like it's not like you're playing like Punch Out or something like that. You're like in the ring and actually dodging and stuff like that. So it's real fight. Like
right. Right.
But it's not moving on. It got virtually its ass kicked or something. It's got its virtual ass kicked. Speaking of EA Sports, we have the UFC franchise, Ultimate Fighting Championship, I guess. Is that what it stands for? Anyway, versus the Def Jam games. They were the quote unquote sequels to the WCW WWF games.
Yes, yes.
Spirit, because they were made by the same people. I'm going to start this one out. The Def Jam games were fucking fantastic. I have watched people play the UFC games. I'm not good at them at all. And they are great fighting games, but I thought the whole story
with Def Jam was they made it because they couldn't do the wrestling games anymore.
The
first one was a lot more like the wrestling game, whereas the second one, they incorporated a lot of music more into it, and their rhythm-based moves and stuff like that. But still, I'm going Def Jam. Eric, you're next.
I'm going for Def Jam.
Yeah.
I never played either of them, but that was fun.
Def Jam is definitely... I like the UFC games quite a bit. Okay. A lot of fun. But the Def Jam games were on a different level. They were just
now
awesome.
Now Vince McMahon owns the UFC
Great music,
game.
Too. Great music.
I know. I just put that as a stinko. I forgot, actually.
What? Oh, the UFC WWE merger? Yeah.
Yeah.
Endeavor.
Next we have... oh, sorry. Gonna say Frank.
Endeavor was the company that bought, basically merged those two companies. All right, continue on.
Moving back up to the top, so we can do the second round of this tournament. And I can't believe we're under 9 o'clock. It isn't 9 yet. I'm surprised after all that.
I think we're gonna have to save our free for all for next week.
Possibly. Let's see. Let's get through it. We could still do it.
The Street Fighter series versus Capcom's Dark, also both Capcom series, but their darker alternative series, the Darkstalkers. Frank.
You know what? I'm going to just be anti-Street Fighter on this one. I'm going to say Darkstalkers just because I want them to make another Darkstalker game. I think they could make a hell of a great Darkstalkers game. So I'm going Darkstalkers. I know you... Plebeians will probably say Street Fighter.
Street Fighter, the Street Fighter series, they're great games. They
I know,
are.
I know.
Street Fighters are good, but there are so many fucking Street Fighter games, and they just they've reinvented their old games at points. Like the HD remix of Super Street Fighter 2 was a fantastic update of the game.
Yeah.
Eric, you're a tiebreaker.
I'm going to vote for Darkstalkers 2, because fuck it.
My God. That's the biggest upset I've ever seen. Wow.
Wow, Darkstalkers moves on? Holy fuck, I thought you guys were totally going to be Street Fighter shills. Damn, right on, Eric.
A little break, maybe, but not me.
About damn time, Eric, you agreed with me on something. Sweet.
All right.
Down goes Street Fighter! Down goes Street Fighter! I love Street Fighter too. No disrespect to Street Fighter, even though I totally did.
At this point, I feel like Street Fighter's lost a lot of its luster for me.
I don't think so. I think it's still great.
I mean, as fun as 6 looks, I think them really positioning Luke as like the MC is really just not a good idea. And a lot of people didn't like 5. That they had to try to fix it a couple times.
Never mind. I'm not even... I just can't even... How can you say like that the Darkstalkers games are better than like Super Street Fighter?
I can make an argument, Breakman, if you want.
It's a losing argument.
No, it wouldn't be a losing argument.
Next, we have the King of the Fighters series, which moved on. Because, yeah. Capcom got his ass whooped. Versus Samurai Showdown. Eric, you can start this one.
Samurai versus what again?
Samurai Showdown versus King of the Fighters.
King of the Fighters.
Right?
This one's tough, man. Both great. I'm going to say King of Fighters to you.
Yeah, we're actually all going to agree on this one, even though you guys assholes and vote against it.
That's okay. I'm going to vote against Darksulkers later anyway.
How dare you? How dare you, Eric? I'm. That's my dark horse to win the whole damn thing. So maybe break will get you back at some point, Eric, just to spite you and what you just said. Skotima says fighting about fighting games.
All right. Guilty Gear versus the Dragon Ball Z Budokai series. I'm going to go first. I enjoy both of these series, but I really liked Budokai. The first one was a lot of fun, and I played it with friends, and Budokai for me. And even though Eric's going to say Guilty Gear, Eric, you're next.
I never did play the GameCube version of Budokai with the cell shading. That was a weird choice. But I'm going to vote for the not DBZ games.
Okay. I'm going to try to buy some goodwill with Breakman here, and I'm going to go with the DBK games.
You didn't put the Tenkaichi games on this list.
Just because it might help me out later with Darkstalkers. You see what I'm saying, Breakman?
Wink, yeah, wink. I never played the two post-Budokai games that don't have Budokai in the title, but they're basically Budokai games in all but name.
They're all part of the series.
Yeah. I never played those.
All right. Continuing on.
Well, it moves on despite Eric's protest, his attempted murder of Goku. Next, we have Skullgirls versus Mortal Kombat. Frank, you can go ahead.
Oh, it's easy, man. This is Mortal Kombat all the way.
Eric?
Mortal Kombat versus
what?
Skullgirls.
I'm going to vote for Skullgirls.
Wow.
Wow,
I think it's a more refined fighting game. Mortal Kombat has always felt off to me with the way how characters move and such.
They've changed up their fighting styles over the years. Like the games,
yeah, I know. Even after they transitioned to actual cheesy characters, it just never felt great to me.
Even when they changed to 3D, like they've changed, like the fighting, like Mortal Kombat Deception plays completely different from Mortal Kombat 11.
Eric hates Mortal Kombat, confirmed.
Well, it's too bad for him because Mortal Kombat's moving on. Let's say in the manner, and I'm going to protect you, Mortal Kombat. I'm going to do everything I can to save you, Mortal Kombat. That's it all.
Except when it comes anyway. To Darkstalkers, but okay.
Next, we have the Smash Brothers series versus Tekken. I think I started. Eric, you're wait. I think Frank did the last one. Yeah, Eric, you're starting this one.
I'm going to vote Tekken over Smash.
Frank?
I'm going to put Breakman on the spot. I'm going with Smash.
Oh, man. This is a hard one. I do like the Tekken series a lot, and there is some definite craziness, like fighting kangaroos and shit like that. But Super Smash Bros. Is a completely different game, and I know the creator doesn't want to call it a fighting game. What else can you call it? I mean, your character's beating up at each other. And I know it can get chaotic sometimes. It could be easy to lose your character in the melee and in the combat and stuff like that. But I still have a lot of fun when I play against other people with Smash Brothers. I gotta go Smash Brothers.
Alright.
Not to spite you, Frank.
No, I picked Smash Brothers too. You spited Eric, so that's fine with me.
Oh, okay, that's fine. Yeah,
that's fine.
I'm just kidding. Next, weird. We have the Soul Calibur series versus Killer Instinct. And Frank, you mentioned Soul Calibur is one of your favorite series. It's one of mine too. Soul Calibur.
What's it going up against? I'm sorry.
Soul Edge / Calibur.
Yeah, Soul Edge. Soul Calibur versus Killer Instinct. Eric, you're next.
Soul Calibur.
Yeah, it's gotta be that. I mean, no other choice. I mean, I love the other one too, but Killer Instinct. But you know, someone needs to make a game called Spite Fighter, starring the RP Grinder Scoutama. Yeah, we could be characters.
Make it Mugen. Make it all crazy.
Yeah, exactly. I like the Mugen games, man. They're pretty cool. They have a lot of horror ones.
And this one's going to be really tough for me. Marvel vs. Capcom series versus the WCW WF of the N64 age. Mm. It's so hard for me. I'm going to punt this one away. Harry, you can start.
Marvel.
Frank?
This is really, really tough for me too, believe it or not, Breakman. But I'm going to give it to Marvel vs. Capcom.
I feel like wrestling games should have their own category.
There's not very many of them.
Yeah, I guess we could probably do that, but it'd be like WWF No Mercy 1 or like 96, 98, and 2000.
Yeah.
It'd be a lot of the same game. Just
so what are you picking, Break?
I'm going to go with you guys, too. Marvel vs. Capcom, X-Men vs. Street Fighter, Marvel vs. Street Fighter. Like they were all good games.
Yeah.
I know Infinite tried to tarnish its name, but the... can't like ruin the what happened before.
It was mostly Disney's fault, though.
Mm. But they couldn't run the goodwill of the Marvel vs. Capcom franchise, and that would leave us with the last one of the night: Virtua Fighter versus Def Jam. And I know this is a hard one for Frank, so I'm not going to put on him right away. I'll go first, and I'll go with Def Jam. Eric.
Def Jam versus what again?
Virtua Fighter.
Virtua Fighter.
This actually is a really tough one for me too, guys, but I like the Def Jam games a lot, but man, I spent a lot of time on Virtua Fighter trying to figure, and I never did figure out all of its mechanics, but it was infinitely fascinating to me. I gotta go with Virtua Fighter. Break, I'm sorry, I just think it's a great game.
I thought you might go with that one. It's fine.
It's fine.
Well, we're set up for next week. We have Darkstalkers versus King of the Fighters, DBZ versus Mortal Kombat. Oh wow, Goku versus Scorpion, Super Smash Brothers versus Soul Calibur, and Marvel versus Capcom versus Virtua Fighter.
Yeah, I'm picking Darkstalkers as the dark horse to win this whole thing.
I'm going to sabotage Darkstalkers as hard as I possibly can.
You are not. You are not.
I'm never voting for Dark. I'm never renting. I'm never playing another Darkstalkers ever again just to spite you.
How dare you? How dare you? I gave you good, I did good will on a couple of these votes, Breakman. Just remember that, you son of a bitch.
No, that was you trying to get, like, look, it's okay. I know I screwed you over. See, it's okay.
You're getting me back for previous tournaments. That's what it is.
It's Frank's version of trickle down.
All right. Hey, we do have time to talk about this. Eric, why don't you lead us into this discussion?
I don't know. I mean, it might take more than we think.
Well, we started late, though.
We did start late, so we can take a few to talk about this, Harry. Go ahead. What do we got?
Okay, I showed Break a new video about Pokemon Company's response to the allegations made against the player that went to, I think it was Chicago tournament or something, mm-hmm. their trading card game.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what it was, but I did watch the video.
But basically the whole incident was about them before they did their match, and they're asking him a few questions, and he asked him about their preferred pronouns, and since they were 17 years old and probably nervous wrecked because they're in front of a bunch of people and they have to answer questions, they, you know, some people like laugh a little bit to like calm their nerves.
Yeah.
Well, apparently they took that the wrong way, and that they used that as a basis for the disqualification because they thought that they were making light of the LGBT community. And it was in their policy, and they take that very seriously, and they weren't going to bend the rules for them, I guess. But I guess the interesting part of the story is that It was only one of several tournaments, and they went on to participate in the other ones. So they just couldn't do it at the specific venue.
I think you just squashed the controversy right there, Eric. I think these were kids that were a little nervous. I don't think they meant harm. Excuse me. But I think...
It wasn't two kids. It was just one kid specifically.
No, I know. And it was kind of... In my view, I don't really take it as he...
The problem came from, like, the way they dealt with it, though.
Yeah, and their response, I don't think, was great either.
Yeah, it was the most, like, Pokemon Company's most canned answer that doesn't actually explain anything. They just say, this is why we did what we did. It was a lot of fluff and no
real. I mean, honestly, like mistakes can happen, and they should have at least like considered the circumstances. And I think he should have still been able to compete. He was just a little nervous, mm-hmm. and like what you said. And you know, I didn't take from that kid was like anti anything. I think he would, like you said, was just in the moment, was just a little nervous and had a little bit of nervous laughter. I've done that before, where I've been up in front of a crowd and have had like
they were probably flustered because they were trying to think, well, how do I approach this without screwing up, and they screwed up in the process.
Yeah, and they screwed it up in the process, and it that's a shame, you know. I mean, it's, but I don't think it was intentional. If it was completely intentional, then I could have seen where they definitely should have been ousted. But to be honest, like in this particular incident, I don't think he should have been kicked from the tourney at all, from that particular tourney.
I think this whole situation could have been avoided if they allowed to fill that kind of stuff out in a form before they applied to register for the tournament itself.
Yeah, I mean, I think they need to put those safeguards in intact later in the future.
Because you're basically asking people personal stuff at that point.
Yeah. I mean, putting somebody on the spot like that, period, is probably... I mean, they should have thought of this way before. I think this is more
and
of
I think maybe that was the Pokemon... What the Pokemon company is saying. We're going to make regulations about this stuff in the future.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I
do think they should have, like I said, bent, not even, it wouldn't even been a bending of the rules. I think everybody would have understood. I don't think there would have been one, you know, gay or lesbian or transgender person that would have been upset with that person continuing. I don't think they took it like that. Matter of fact, from what I've seen, Eric, I don't think anybody took it as he was being malicious or anything of that nature. So that's just my feelings. I don't know. Maybe somebody did get offended and that's why they did what they did. But their answer, like you said, was very milquetoast. And I really think they should have thought about that a little bit more. But what do you think, Rake?
I didn't see what happened, but from what was read, it sounded like it was nervous laughter. But I didn't see it, so I can't really. I can't really judge.
Yeah. I just think their response was just so milquetoast, you know. It's like Eric said, you know, they were very robotic in their response and, you know, why they did what they did. But I don't know, Eric, like what I mean, do you, how did you feel about it? You feel like he should have been banned from that tourney and you know. I mean,
yeah,
I just
they should have let them compete.
I agree. I mean, I think it's I think most people feel that way too. I mean, you might get an occasional person that might have thought otherwise, but I haven't seen that, Eric. Have you seen people like outraged by it? Like, oh, they, you know, or have you seen most people they did the right thing and praising Pokemon Company for that?
I don't know. I mean, there's apparently I think some people just they get worked up over certain things. Sometimes it's not worth it. And I think while some people's hearts are in the right place, I think they might be overzealous.
Yeah, I agree. I totally agree. I mean, that goes for a lot of things in life, you know, whether we're talking politics or whatever. I mean, you know, it's like that stupid commercial I saw where this beer company, like like totally destroyed can of Bud Light. I'm like, Jesus Christ, you guys are upset that somebody that, you know, wasn't like you endorsed Bud Light? Get the fuck out of here. You made a great point, Eric, that people should have been more outraged that they paid somebody money to endorse, you know, the product more than anything. You know, like it's a more of an indictment on capitalism and trying to capitalize on the transgender / LGBT movement.
And we're your friends, even though we really just want your money, because we don't really care as long as we get your money.
Right, which any company feels that way. Look, that's what capitalism is.
We'll take
is.
Your money and then we'll put it towards efforts that will make your life worse.
Right. Which they do behind the scenes. Look, the color of money is green, right? It don't care if you're gay, black, brown, whatever. These companies will take your money regardless. So it shouldn't matter who endorses what, but the bigger like overarching theme is the money, right? It's not about like, you know, being transgender or being straight or black or white or anything. It's just it's all about money. So, you know, it is what it is. But all right. I think that's all we got for today, guys. Unless you guys got anything else. You guys have anything else?
Just gonna listen. Most kids today get participation trophies and don't hear the word no. That's stupid.
I mean, the participation trophies, like I agree. Like when I was a kid, brakeman, like if I got third place in a thing, I was just as happy as when I got a first place thing. It's the parents that make a big deal out of it. You know what I mean? Like, that's how it came to be. I remember being pretty good at athletic events, and I would get an occasional blue. Like the Blues were like the first place, the Reds were second, the Whites were third. And
all these people that compete, they compete because they have fun doing it.
Right.
And winning is just a bonus.
Winning is a bonus, you know? I mean,
because participation is the winning.
If they would have given, I remember being proud of all my blue first place fucking ribbons, you know? I was like, oh, that's cool. So in that respect, Scott, I kind of agree, but like not everybody is wanting to compete, you know, like not everything is a competition in life, you know. I mean we can all be on the same level. I mean, we talked about capitalism, we're all in the same boat. I don't care if you make 30, 50, 60, 70, 80, $90,000 a year. I mean, we're all in the same fucking boat. We live check to check.
The participation trophy stuff almost feels like parents doing that just so they can make themselves feel special through their kids.
Yeah, I mean I agree. I don't like the participation trophy nonsense either. I mean, I think if you're going to do something, no trophies at all. You know, everybody just understands that they're competing, and it's just a mental thing.
You know, I feel it's better for a trophy. Getting food afterwards.
Absolutely, I think we can all agree on that. Getting the food at the end, like if we all had field day, and at the end we knew we were all going to get pizza. I mean, I think that pretty much says it all. What do you say, Breakman? Yay, nay?
I forgot what I was about to say. Actually, I was reading what Scotum was saying, and I was going to respond to him, and then I forgot what I was about to say. So
yeah, see, Scotum says it too. Everybody gets stuck in competition mode, even as they grow older. I mean, not everything is a fucking competition, you know. I mean, it's fun to watch. It's fun to watch competition. Like Break and I are huge sports fans, you know. But I mean, I think we've gotten past that point of competing. You know, it's like
this is sports, and there, you know, I think there should be like non-competitive sports for the kids who aren't good, and for the adults who aren't good, want to compete and stuff like that, and play and just have fun. But you know, when you're playing the actual game, when you have kids who are competing because you know they want to win, like they're winners and losers. Life isn't fair. That's one of the things that I like about sports, is it teaches kids that are winners and losers.
Yeah, there's plenty of football games that one team has dominated, but the other team wins just out of flukiness, and it isn't fair. Or the referees screw them out of winning. Like the Broncos.
Bengals this year, they were absolutely screwed.
Yeah, the Broncos are screwed on a fucking yearly basis almost, man. And, you know, so it's like, you know, you're right. Life isn't fair.
Oh, no, here's what I wanted to say about the participation trophies that I kind of fumbled my thoughts about. But it almost like as if they came up with them to fix a problem that didn't need solving because it's the idea that if you get a trophy in first place and then somebody else gets the trophy in third place, they're somehow a loser because they didn't get first. So we're giving you this participation trophy so you don't feel as such a loser.
You know, the only time that I would agree
but
with...
But like you said, it's like the only people that care about that shit are the parents. Stupid adults.
I think the only time that we should really give participation trophies is like Special Olympics, right? Because those people are, you know, mentally incapacitated to the point where they don't really know the true meaning of competition for the most part. I know there's exceptions. But like, I think that's appropriate, you know, like if you have, like, you know, a couple of, you know.
Dude, like, there's always the MVP award.
Yeah, you can do that.
Like, you can still do that and not get, like, a top place.
Right, they do placement. That. They do that in the NBA and NFL and NHL, too. You know, they give MVP awards, like, for the greatest player.
Somebody a Rudy Award, you know, for the person who is completely worthless, but, you know, everybody...
You like the Razzies.
Yeah, you get the Razzie Rudy Award because you absolutely sucked on the court. You had a minus 20 playing basketball, so here you go.
Such a good locker room guy.
I only had a bowling trophy. I never cared, Brickman. Yeah, I mean, you know. I mean, what did you bowl, by the way, to get that trophy?
Basketball? I sucked. Whatever. It's the way it was.
And I was the opposite. I was good at anything, man. I got a gold medal in when I participated in a national youth sports program. Like I was good, man. Tennis, basketball, football. The only thing I couldn't do was hit a baseball for the life of me.
I could field
like a motherfucker. I could run faster than anybody on the team, but fucking hitting a baseball, I could not do. And golfing, I couldn't do golf either.
I can't do golfing either. I hate golf.
Yeah, so, you know. But anyways, we gotta go, gentlemen. So let's wrap up with our plugs.
Respect for anybody to play tennis. It's hard.
Oh, tennis is... Man, that was my sport, man. I got a gold medal in that. All right. Breakman, plug away, please.
You can follow me at RP Grinders on Twitter. For some reason, I haven't been banned yet.
Yeah.
I'm really, really surprised I haven't been banned yet. Well, I have been... I
surprised Musk doesn't catch my retweets of things that say not so good things about him.
I know. I've directed not good things about him. I've put at Elon Musk and then said shit to him.
Well, look, if he took the time to, you know, to go through everything anybody's bad said about Elon Musk, he'd be there like all day, every day for years, man.
Because he kind of does that already anyway.
Well, I mean.
Not just him, like, I've said stuff like, I'm like, fuck you, Jim Jordan, you know, and like, add Jim Jordan.
Yeah, Jim Jordan's a piece of shit. Okay, what else? Eric, your plugs, please.
You can find my written reviews on BostonBashBrigade.com, or there's my audio reviews on the feed for the podcast. And while I have nothing this week, I'll definitely have something over the weekend or something.
Yep.
Because I just didn't have time for it. But if you like either of those things and you want to support me on Patreon, there's a link to it in my Twitter profile, which is at EricRPG, and or you can just go to Patreon and type Eric Kelly's writing reviews, making videos. And, well, the video part is kind of a lie, but I want to get to that point. I just need better equipment. And like, maybe, like, the video part would probably be for doing Let's Plays and stuff. But, or Twitch streaming. So I need a better internet connection for that, so that's why I need your support. But even, like, as little as a dollar would help out, so If you feel like it, you can go over there. But that's it.
Alright, you can follow me on any of the systems, RP Grinders. You can follow me on Twitter at Frank Branches. Thanks to everybody in chat, Freak5Chaos, Scotoma, O1Ella, AOK, Alicidra, Drapsnat, Lizabai, and Lilytuff. Thank you all for joining. Really, really appreciate it. You can follow my other channel, Mexican Longhair, on YouTube, which I'm doing a lot of great stuff lately, dealing with government officials, holding them accountable, getting records, just all kinds of really, really good stuff that I do on that channel, along with DJ K-Dot The Party. Make sure you check out his channel on YouTube and subscribe. He's a really great dude. I love K-Dot. We're really good friends, and he deserves all the accolades. So thank you guys so much for joining. Anything else, gentlemen?
I'm getting food. I'm hungry.
Yeah, I know. It's food quest time for sure.
I don't know where Harmings is.
I miss Dungeon Buster, man. Somebody's got to find Dungeon Buster and bring him back to the show. Dungeon's a great dude. All right.
You okay?
I don't know. I haven't heard from him in the longest.
He tweets nearly every day about some other game or something from way back when.
All right. Just as long as he's okay. Like, I just...
I miss Dungeon. I really miss
Wayland.
I haven't Wayland as well.
Maybe they just have a different schedule now.
Wayland, Dungeon. I mean, I miss Gripper. You guys remember Gripper? I haven't seen Gripper in the longest, man.
I mentioned Wayland because last time he was gone, like he was in the hospital.
I know. I'm gonna try to tweet him actually to see if he's still okay. Because you're right, they're fine. In the hospital.
I talked to them recently.
Oh, okay. Like, well, that's
okay. Good. Okay.
Hate the show. That's all.
Fine. I just wanted to make sure he was okay.
No, they've just gotten to listening to it on my archive.
So Wyland and Dungeon hates RP Grinders now. Confirmed. Okay. We got it. All right.
Maybe you should tweet at them.
I know. I probably should.
Why do you hate us?
Frank probably exiled them and they decided they couldn't be in chat anymore. Freak Live. Maybe they did. Maybe I did. I don't remember exiling either one of them, though. Especially not Dungeon. Dungeon never got exiled, I don't think. But, alright. I mean, that's the thing. A lot of people get stuck in competition mode even as they grow older. Yeah. How dare you, Breakman? You're exiled, son of a bitch. You're the only one who got exiled this week. Alright, stay safe this weekend. We want to see you back here next week. Until then,
I think they should just abolish trophies.
Yeah, I agree. Later, everybody. Have a great weekend.